Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now, I don't know if you knew this about me, but on top of being What Culture Wrestling's presenter extraordinaire, I'm also a little bit of an actor. So the fact that I do dabble in the old world of performing, being a thespian, a little bit of Shakespeare every now and again, does mean that I know a thing or two about the casting process. If you get it wrong, then there's a good chance that even if you've got an incredible script, or this fantastic CGI, the people at home watching the films, the TV shows, whatever they are, just aren't really gonna connect with the material. But if you get it right, even the worst script, the worst special effects can all be forgiven, because nobody can deny undeniable chemistry between an actor and a character when they come together. And what do you know, this all applies to the wonderful wacky world of wrestling too, and that's why we've got a video out of it, because I am Gareth from What Culture Wrestling, and these are 10 wrestlers that are currently in the wrong role. And just a bit of housekeeping, I may or may not have recorded this video before, and it was all out of focus for the intro, so I've had to go back and do it again. That's why I'm wearing this t-shirt now, and if you jump forward, in a minute, I'm gonna be wearing a completely different one, because that's how magic works. Number 10, Lacey Evans as the veteran who despises you people. Now, it's been well documented just how all-around bizarre Lacey Evans' return, re-debut, whatever you want to call it, was earlier this year, like throughout the start of 2022, because she had these great vignettes where she was being all vulnerable, and just it was really easy to connect to her because she'd been through all these past traumas and really hard, difficult times, and you were like, that's a person I want to get behind. And then what did WWE do? Well, they moved her over to Raw. They turned her into a heel, and then they drafted her back to SmackDown, and then turned her back into a face. She debuted as a face, and then she quickly turned back into a heel. Are you keeping up? And since Triple H took over, he's not really hit the reset button with Lacey Evans and turned her back into this great face character that the public just wanted to salute and say, that's my veteran. No, instead, he's kind of left her as this weird heel that shouts and screams at everybody, and she's got a bit lost in the shuffle because of that. Now, yeah, I'll be honest, there's been a few moments where she's got a bit of genuine heat because she's ran down the town that she's in, the city that she's in, because that always works. It's pretty cheap heat. And I think in Evans, you've got someone there who could be a genuine babyface that people want to really celebrate and just they can connect with, and you've fumbled it. There's still time to, like, really go back on yourself and go, yeah, all this was just a bit of a weird moment, about a rough couple of months, and I'm back to being Lacey. But if you don't go back to basics, as she put it herself in like a WWE exclusive video the other day, then she's just going to continue being a kind of nothing heel that doesn't really show up on SmackDown all that much. Number 9, Matt Riddle as the dude you like to get high with. Matt Riddle likes to get high. Did you notice? If it wasn't abundantly clear from the numbers that are plastered on just about every piece of merch that he has with his face or snake or hat on it, then WWE's latest doubling down on all things bros probably done the trick, because now he walks around with a pair of bongos and says, hey dude, wanna hit my bong? Because get it? What's really baffling about all of this was that Matt Riddle was this really fiery, passionate babyface just a couple of months ago when he was in this blood feud with Seth Rollins, and he was really brassed off, bro, because he was saying some horrible things about his family, and he was like, I'm gonna defend my honor, bro. And then fast forward a couple of months after supposedly winning this feud in the fight pit and all this like drama, he's now just gone back to being a stupid, dumb person who walks around with his bongos, and he's probably gonna get betrayed by Elias again at some point, because that's just what he does. No idea why we've just dropped all this great babyface fire and momentum that people really started to to get behind, but that's what we've done, because what we really needed was bungos and wee jokes. Number 8, Tommaso Ciampa as the Miz's mate. So the chances of Tommaso Ciampa returning after his most recent injury, which is a bit of a shame because I love old Blackheart, as the Miz's friend are getting slimmer and slimmer by the week, because the Miz is now at odds with Johnny Gargano, and we know that those two are regularly pals. They like to do DIY together. They can sort your deck out. But even if that is the case, and he just goes, you know what, Miz, you're a bit of an idiot, I don't like you, like when he does come back, still won't change the fact that it's been a bit weird, this, that he's actually been friends with the Miz in the first place, because his reasons were odd, weren't they? I think what he said was, I want to get some exposure, and The Miz gives me that exposure, and I'm going to learn all these incredible things from the veteran that is The Miz. So, veteran Tommaso Ciampa, who thinks he's going to learn so much more from veteran The Miz, didn't sync up, did it? And I'm not even going to talk about that garish bright green get-up thing, because come on, Tommaso, you're better. You're better than this, man. I don't really get how this has benefited anyone, really, because people who never knew who Tommaso Ciampa was were just like, who's this scrappy dude knockoff racking up in, like, weird green clothes? And people who did know what Tommaso Ciampa did in NXT were like, what have you done with my boy? My baby boy? So, when you come back, Tommaso, just get rid of The Miz. We don't need him. Just let him be eaten alive by Dexter Lumis, and then pull Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa away from that, have them team for a bit, and then stab each other in the back, because drama. Number 7, Raquel Rodriguez as the Smiling Powerhouse. The former Raquel Gonzalez and one-time NXT Women's Champion got slipped straight into the caricature world, didn't she? As soon as she rocked up on SmackDown, because Vince McMahon saw this big powerhouse that he saw loads of babyface potential in, and he said, smile, damn it! So that's what she did. She smiled, and she smiled. She kept on smiling until she became the big, towering female version of Finn Balor. And it's just not worked at all, because it never works, because people just see straight through the smile and see the heartbroken, soul-crushing reality of someone going, I want to be a character, not just a smiling, weird face. Now there's been the odd flicker from the now Raquel Rodriguez of the real, no-nonsense badassery that was there in NXT. I was there, I saw the rise, I loved it. There was a moment, I think, when she, like, confronted Damage Control, and she said, Aaliyah was injured because of you guys, and I'm not standing for it, and she like went up against them and fought them, and then after that she reverted to smiling again and just walking down the ramp and tensing, going, I'm great, I love being here, and it's just not working for anyone, so let's just drop it and have her be either a badass babyface or a badass heel and just kill everyone, because it's that easy. She's right there. Number 6, Braun Strowman as a monstrous hero. Braun Strowman's returning presence as a babyface monster who just wrecks entire tag team divisions felt a bit odd, didn't it? Straight away. Because yeah, there are numbers to be made, had, whatever the term is really, with Braun Strowman, because whenever you look at YouTube and he's doing whatever he's doing, the numbers seem to soar. If he's battling against Omos and you get the big kaiju dinosaur fight, that gives numbers. If he's killing Chad Gable, that seems to do numbers as well. But the big problem with Braun Strowman is he doesn't really lend himself to being a babyface, because he's just a big bully. This character of Braun Strowman is just a big bully, because that's all he does. He bullies people. Look what he did to the Maximum Male Models. They were doing nothing. They were just posing in the middle of the aisle, and he did that. Jumping back to the time in my mind where I think Strowman was at his most effective, I think it was, what, like 2017, 2018? What he was doing then was wrecking everybody as a bad guy. He was a bad guy flipping cars, flipping people backstage, and people were like, you know what, he's kind of bad, but I kind of like it because he's like scary bad, but in a good way. And it clicked. It clicked with the audience. Again, he's generating like some reaction from people right now, but it's more of a kind of look at the Colossal Man reaction, not, yeah, that's my bully hero. So why not double down on the real life heat and controversy that he seems to be stirring up whenever he taps onto his phone on Twitter while it's still here? It's probably dead by now, right? And just have Strowman be the flippy flopper fighter. Have him just fight all the flippy floppers, all your favorites, all your fan favorites. He just squashes them, beats them up, becomes the monster heel of SmackDown that gets overcome by Ricochet. Cause that'll happen. Yeah? I promise.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Number 5, Bryan Danielson as the BCC's talent scout. I'm not going to lie, when Bryan Danielson rocked up in AEW, I lost my damn mind, because everyone did. It was Adam Cole, then it was Danielson, Punk had already come back. It was a crazy time, but it was only like a year ago, and it feels like 10 years ago at this point. And while you could definitely say that Danielson, the American Dragon, has added yet more classics to his repertoire, some modern greats in his matches against Hangman Page, Kenny Omega, Eddie Kingston, Miro, he's done some serious good business. With all that being said, you still have this weird feeling that he's not being used to his full potential right now in AEW. I don't just mean in the wrestling sense, because he's showing that he can out-wrestle anyone. He's still the best wrestler on the planet, just with his showings in between the ropes. But in terms of a character, the role that he's currently playing of this like Blackpool Combat Club tutor, head coach, scout person who's just going looking for the best new talents to bring aboard the wrestling machine, it doesn't feel like you're getting the most out of him. Because this need to bring people to the Blackpool Combat Club, these new people, these new recruits, for me, it just feels like it's entirely pushed his own ambitions of winning belts and being at the top of the card and being the guy, the best wrestler in the world, to one side. It's kind of nullified him ever so slightly. So maybe now is the time to pull the trigger on Danielson, really going for a top belt and just being a single-minded killer of a star once again, because like the man himself has already noted, he might not be around in a full-time capacity for too much longer. Number 4, Baron Corbin as a wrestling god. Now, a lot of people have had a lot to say about Baron Corbin, a lot of criticism at times, and some of it's just, some of it maybe it's a little bit harsh, but one thing that has never been called into question is the guy can talk. And what I mean is, yeah, he might not be able to cut the charismatic promos like an MJF and The Rock, people like that, but he can generate heat just by talking into a microphone like no other, really. I think in WWE, genuine heat, he is the magnet with a microphone. So the reveal of John Bradshaw Layfield being brought back into the mix as his kind of just manager person, a mouthpiece, if you will, just don't feel right. It don't feel like something that needed to happen in the first place, because that was never the issue with Corbin. The issue with this now supposed wrestling god was the fact that every time he tried to get in between the ropes and win matches and win substantial feuds, he never did. He was always the nearly man, so he became a bit of a joke. So my big fear with all of this is that all we're going to do is have JBL stood next to Baron Corbin going, look how great he is, he's a wrestling god, he's incredible, look at his incredible chaps. Instead of WWE having the cojones just to have him win matches and beat people up really efficiently and effectively and look like an absolute powerhouse. If we do that, everything will be great, and then just bin off JBL because we don't like bullies. And while we're at it, why not change his name back to Big Bad Corbin? Yeah, I think that works. Big Bad Corbin, steak in one hand, cigar in the other. That's your money right there. Number 3, Luchasaurus as Kane 2.0. Throughout much of his time walking the earth as part of Tony Khan's big old wrestling machine, Luchasaurus found himself as one of the integral parts of one of the most crowd-popping and just lovely fulfilling groups that AEW had to offer. They were called Jurassic Express. Feels like a lifetime ago, doesn't it? What made this dino dude so damn fun to watch is the fact that he was a big old massive man and he could moonsault and flip around the ropes, and he was just a really effective wrestler. Just in general, the dynamic really worked. It was a good time. But the unexpected effectiveness of Luchasaurus and the fact that he really got over with the crowd as this big powerhouse muscle of the prehistoric group eventually led to his heel turn not really working as well as it maybe could have, because you had this big goofy dinosaur that people loved because he was goofy and strange, now decking himself out in black, being a black dinosaur, big badass dinosaur, that was still a goofy dinosaur. You see, it doesn't really work. Now you can see what they're trying to go for here, this kind of Kane 2.0 look where he's demonic and he's got the big Kane music and fire and all that kind of stuff. But he still looks like Luchasaurus, he's just wearing black stuff now instead. So it's not quite working. And seriously, next to no time at all, the squashes went from like, wow, big dominant dinosaur to, yeah, that's still the goofy dinosaur just beating people up, isn't it? And I'll be honest, the fact that he's turned heel now like twice in a couple of months and just swerved everybody probably hasn't helped the character either. It just doesn't feel like it's clicking in the way they want it to. Now, I think he still works as a right hand of destruction to Christian Cage. I don't think that's the issue. I think they definitely have something there. But maybe just change the gimmick up ever so slightly. Just pull away from the Kane 2.0 kind of stuff and maybe pull away from the dinosaur kind of stuff. And I know this is a groundbreaking concept. Do something new with the Enforcer role, because you can. Don't have him be Luchasaurus, Dark Luchasaurus, Dark Luchasaurus. We don't need it. Number two, Bayley as the relentless heel leader. So much like Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch before her, WWE decided, even though Bayley was somebody that everyone wanted to see come back and they were just overjoyed about a return on this huge SummerSlam stage, they brought her back as a heel, regardless of the fact she was getting a babyface pop. Can you see where the issue lies? Now, that's not me saying that I don't like Bayley as a heel, because I think if the circumstances are right, she's a bloody good heel. We saw it all the way through the pandemic with a big war with Sasha Banks. When she's got the right foil, she is electric. But in these circumstances, it just felt clunky out of the gates. It didn't work for anybody, really. The only time this group have felt like a substantial force and a group that you really wanted to boo was when they attacked Becky Lynch on their like first night on Raw. And then since then, everything they've said, and particularly Bayley has said in a microphone, has become instantly forgotten. Can you name me one memorable promo that Bayley has said? No. It's because she's just not got that aura of somebody who's leading these women to conquer all of the roster, all of the women's roster. She's just not done that. She's not been convincing as that. I don't think that's where this character really excels. I think she excels as a heel when she's kind of a slimy, like backstabbing, just wily character who's looking out for herself and nobody else. So in all honesty, like post-war games, after we've got all this out of the way, it might not be the worst idea in the world to maybe split up Damage Control and let all three women just kind of go down the paths and just see what happens and see if they can explore new avenues with their own individual characters. And if that means Bayley just reverts to being this kind of slimy heel who just backstabs everyone and gets what she wants, that's fine. Or maybe we go down the babyface route, because I've not had babyface Bayley in quite some time, and I think now, like, she was in a perfect position to be like a nuclear hot babyface, but now it's going to be a bit harder, but just maybe have a go. I don't know. Try. Number one, Johnny Gargano as the cocky face. So in Johnny Gargano, and Triple H must know this better than anybody because he was there, he was like the catalyst behind it, the game has, without a shadow of a doubt, the most natural, organic babyface on the roster, really. I think in all of WWE right now, he's the most natural, organic babyface on his day. Like, people want to connect with him and cheer for him because they love underdog Johnny. I think him and probably Rey Mysterio, but that's just, he's a guy, he's in a level, a class of his own. But Johnny Gargano's the man for babyface organic, just pops. So what did the game opt to do when they finally brought Johnny Gargano back to the big time, to the big leagues? They made him some kind of weird diet D-Generation X dude who wears cowboy hats and mocks all the legends and says things like, and then smiles like a really cocky prick. Because, well, of course he did, because that's the kind of stuff that Triple H looks at a person and goes, yeah, they could be my kind of face. They're someone to root for because they mock people. The early signs were so promising too, because you remember that first Johnny Gargano promo? He stood there in the middle of the ring and he was like, I had a dream when I was a kid. I wanted to be an Intercontinental Champion, WWE Champion. I wanted to wrestle at WrestleMania. I wanted to do all those things. And you know what? I'm betting on myself. And if you bet on yourself, dreams can come true. And it just gets me emotional because Johnny, man, I wanted to achieve your dreams. But that character pretty much ended like on that night. Like, this achieve your dreams Johnny that everyone wanted to get behind was stopped, and we traded him out for cocky Johnny who just mocks The Miz and gets involved in The Miz Dexter Lumis storyline and just smiles and makes jokes about people looking like Mr. Rogers. Now, yeah, there's still time to save Johnny and just pull him away from this Miz Lumis stuff. Do not bring back the way. I don't need it. I went through it. It's fine. It happened. It's in the past. But if you don't do it sooner rather than later, well, Johnny could get shuffled right down into that mid-card or just piss me off to the point of turning my TV off and throwing my head through it. I don't know how I'd do it, but I'll find a way.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.